The Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
In-person instruction in the fall. Good afternoon. New York schools will be open 5 days a week in September. Governor Cuomo says unless there's a change in the trajectory of the pandemic, districts need to prepare now for back to business 100%.
Unless something dramatic happened, I don't see any reason why we couldn't open all schools.
Hamburg, New York Superintendent Mike Cornell says for schools to be open 5 days a week, districts are going to need some guidance from the state, and soon.
We need it sometime before everybody leaves for the school year, right? So planning for September happens in March, April, and May.
The governor did not say whether New York plans to make COVID vaccines mandatory for students to attend school in the fall. A year ago today, a cop's knee on a black man's neck led to a murder case in Minneapolis and cries for police reform across America.
He literally has changed the world.
The family of George Floyd marking the anniversary in private with a meeting with President Biden today at the White House. DeRay McKenzie of Campaign Zero, a group dedicated to police reform, says Floyd's death opened many people's eyes.
I think that for black people, it was like deja vu. It was like, we've been here before, we've seen it. I think for a lot of other people, it was shock. People were like, I can't believe the country's like, and we were like, the country's been like this. You just saw it on camera, right?
Conservative commentator Tommy Lahren says groups like Black Lives Matter and Antifa have exploited Floyd's death to undermine law enforcement.
You know, it's one thing to talk about police reform. It's one thing to talk about racial tension and divide in this country and have an open and honest dialogue. But when these groups are using and exploiting somebody's death, and they're using it not only to divide the country, but also to line their pockets and make money and make political gains, that's what I take real issue with.
The George Floyd tragedy has led to defund the police movements all across America, even as violent crime soars in many cities. President Biden and Russian ruler Vladimir Putin will come face to face, eyeball to eyeball, next month in Geneva, Switzerland. That summit between the two world leaders set for June 16th. It's been tacked onto the tail end of Mr. Biden's first overseas excursion as commander-in-chief. He'll also be visiting Britain and Brussels. Secretary of State Blinken in Israel today, working to solidify the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas.
The United States fully supports Israel's right to defend itself against attacks, such as the thousands of rockets fired by Hamas indiscriminately against Israeli civilians.
Blinken met earlier with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and talked with the Palestinian president, too. There was no meeting with Hamas. On the COVID front, the Biden administration announcing today that half of all U.S. adults have now been fully vaccinated against the virus. Drug maker Moderna says its shot for the 12 to 17-year-old crowd is 100% effective. And new cases of coronavirus in this country are at their lowest level in more than a year. The Summer Olympics in Japan could be in jeopardy as COVID cases surge there.
A new survey indicates that the masked majority of Japan, more than 8 in 10 people, want the games to be postponed again or canceled for good.
Correspondent Remy Innocencia calls growing louder for an independent investigation into the origins of COVID-19. How was it born? And why did it get out of China?
We don't have enough data and information to jump to a conclusion at this point in time.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the U.S. will rely on the World Health Organization for answers. Britt Hume of Fox News says that would be a mistake.
Pushing the WHO to do an open investigation, I don't think that's a serious comment. We don't know what happened here. But the Wuhan lab theory was always plausible. So the dismissal of that idea that it came from the lab by so many news organizations was another in the long line of recent media failures.
And what's even more disturbing. Asian affairs expert Gordon Chang thinks China may be weaponizing other viruses.
They've been talking about a new type of biological warfare of, quote, specific ethnic genetic attacks. In other words, the next bug will leave the Chinese immune and attack the rest of us.
U.S. officials still unsure whether COVID occurred naturally or was the result of a lab leak in Wuhan, China. Former President Trump on the Dan Bongino Show.
I have very little doubt, and I mean very, very little doubt, came from the lab.
Three researchers at the Wuhan lab got COVID-like symptoms weeks before the world's first reported case. That was December 8th, 2019. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul got a death threat in the mail yesterday. The conservative received a letter at his Kentucky home containing a white powdery substance. On the outside was a picture of a bruised and bandaged Paul with a gun to his head and threats of violence attached to it, the FBI investigating. And Ohio lawmakers introduced a bill to stop the state's COVID vaccination lottery system.
Last night, the Ohio Lottery drew the names of two lucky winners, one winning a full-ride scholarship to any Ohio State-based college, the other $1 million. However, Ohio Republican House Representative Jenna Powell said she'll be introducing legislation this week to stop the drawings.
The problem here is that it does feel like a bribe on taxpayer dollars for individuals to get the vaccine.
She also said the Vax-a-Million lottery is a gross misuse of taxpayer dollars for Governor Mike DeWine, adding, Ohioans deserve better, and they deserve us to use their tax dollars wisely. And the Vax-a-Million lottery does not do that. I'm Mike Bauer.
In New Jersey, the masks come off Friday. Governor Phil Murphy defending the decision to delay.
More time on the clock here in a pandemic is your ally. We just weren't ready to lift that mandate.
New Jersey, one of the last states to let the fully vaccinated take their masks off. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a first-in-the-country big tech censorship law. It punishes social media sites like Twitter and Facebook that censor conservative speech.
They're using their power to enforce orthodoxy and to suppress speech and candidates that they disagree with.
Big tech would no longer be allowed to permanently ban political candidates. If they do, they could be fined and even sued. 20 states are taking action to ban critical race theory in the classroom. South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace calls it indoctrination.
This is Marxist ideology that they're trying to teach to our children that says to us that all of us are racist.
Not supporters of the controversial curriculum say it offers a full accounting of U.S. history. Still to come on the Noon Report, incentivizing the shot in New York, reaching the threshold in Pennsylvania, and rethinking masks on kids.
Good afternoon. We're going to keep our eyes on the skies this afternoon. There'll be a couple of thunderstorms and showers popping in the recently returned warm air. I'll be back with forecast details in 10 minutes.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. It is the season for the sneezing, as they say. If you suffer from allergies, you know what I'm talking about. Allergy season, especially robust this year, says allergy expert Dr. Rita Ketru.
Very interesting. All of last year, we weren't seeing a lot of pollen allergy because, number one, people were indoors. And then when they were outdoors, they were wearing a mask. And we know that the mask was a cover and decreasing exposure to pollen.
Experts say this allergy season is the worst in 20 years. Don't look now, but gas prices are soaring. The average price at the pump now, $3.04 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy. It's over $3 in New York, $3.15 in Pennsylvania. And the trend will continue right through Memorial Day, maybe into the summer travel season. Well, New York has just rescinded the mask mandate for young children at daycares and summer camps. Young kids can take them off now. Governor Cuomo says the state was just following CDC guidelines.
Can you imagine a child care provider trying to put masks on 3- and 4-year-olds and have them keep them on all day long? So I get it.
Dozens of daycares and summer camps had threatened to sue. They called face coverings on 2-year-olds in the summer outside misguided policy. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf's goal of getting 70% of the adult population fully vaccinated, well, that goal may be in reach and soon. The CDC says the state is on track to accomplish it by the last week of June. The governor says he will lift the mask mandate once the 70% threshold is reached. New York's new vaccine incentive program is underway. The so-called Vax and Screen Scratch Initiative offers free $20 lotto tickets to anyone who gets the shot at a state-run vaccine clinic.
I think anything that will help people to get vaccinated is a good thing.
Dr. Nancy Bennett runs a vaccine hub in New York's Finger Lakes region.
I think anything we can do to make getting vaccinated sort of fun and interesting is a good thing. So I think you'll see more incentive programs like this. I think taking the vaccines to the people is really the plan.
But Rochester resident Michelle Morbido says gimmicks like Vaccine Scratch just won't work.
People that don't want to get vaccinated are not going to get vaccinated. A scratch-off ticket's not going to help them, because they've got their own reasons for it. If they don't want to get it, they're not going to get it.
Nine states, including New York, have introduced lottery incentives to try and boost their vaccination rate. Three pro-life bills were voted out of committee today in the Pennsylvania House: the Unborn Child Dignity Act, the Heartbeat Bill, and the Down Syndrome Protection Act, expected to win approval in the General Assembly, though Governor Wolf has promised a veto. Thousands of Pennsylvania nursing home workers are protesting today at dozens of nursing homes all across the Commonwealth.
Caregivers are demanding the governor and other state leaders update nursing home regulations, which have remained the same for nearly 30 years. They want those to prevent staffing shortages that impact residents' care. They're also fighting for union contracts that address wages they claim have led to a 128% average turnover rate in nursing home staff.
That's Priscilla Liguori with ABC 27. Pennsylvania's reinstating a work search requirement for those on unemployment. The state waived that requirement at the height of the pandemic. It requires residents prove they are looking for work in order to collect jobless benefits. The work search requirement will be turned back on again mid-July. Western New York homeowners are taking their fight against gypsy moth caterpillars to the sky. Residents in Ontario and Livingston counties have hired pilots to spray a pesticide that kills the harmful bugs. Sonia Carnevale of Canandaigua.
With all of the dry weather, not only did my trees not have any leaves, they had no water either, and the heat. So I really felt that if we had another summer with the amount of defoliation that we've had the past couple, that I was going to start having my trees die.
This pesticide kills the caterpillars before they morph into moths and munch all the leaves off the trees. The aerial assault, not harmful to plants, people, or animals, just gypsy moths. Hey, the two-minute drill next. Here's Sunny Delphia.
Yeah, let's start on the ice in Pittsburgh in double overtime.
Steal.
Uh-oh.
Josh Bailey scores!
The Islanders beat the Penguins 3-2 to take a 3-2 series lead. Josh Bailey on that game winner.
You know, at first I was just trying to settle it down and wanted to get a good shot off, and then just kind of ultimately ran out of time and just tried to let one go, and happy to see it go in.
Penguins head coach Mike Sullivan.
We have a lot of leadership that's been through a lot of experiences in this league, especially in the playoffs. And so we'll just keep this thing in perspective, and we'll go to the island. We'll put our best game on the ice.
In Winnipeg, the Jets used a breakaway goal from Kyle Connor in the third overtime to eliminate the Oilers with a 4-3 win. Elsewhere, Florida and Minnesota staved off elimination. Panthers beat the Lightning 4-1. Wild knocked off the Golden Knights 4-2. The Milwaukee Bucks and Denver Nuggets made relatively easy work of their opponents. Blowout wins in games 2 last night. Bucks cruised to a 132-98 win over Miami. The Nuggets pulled away in the second half to ensure a 128-109 victory over the Portland Trail Blazers. Jordan Clarkson taking home the NBA Sixth Man of the Year award. The Utah Jazz guard beat out teammate Joe Ingles and New York Knicks guard Derrick Rose for the recognition. Clarkson, the first Jazz player to receive the award. Aaron Rodgers speaking to Kenny Mayne on Mayne's last SportsCenter appearance and said he's not upset with Jordan Love.
Never been about the draft pick, picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. A lot of fun to work together. I love the coaching staff, love my teammates, you know, love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible, incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy.
It's about philosophy. Major League Baseball, Phillies, Mets, and Blue Jays fall. Cleveland knocked off Detroit 6-5. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiet.
Thank you very much, Sonny. At the sports desk, still to come on the Noon Report for a Tuesday. George Floyd, 1 year later, how the world caught COVID and celebrating glass in the Crystal City.
There's a growing group of gospel influencers on TikTok. Now, if you don't know what that is, ask your kids. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. TikTok is a social media platform created in China, best known for dancing videos. Its parent company, in fact, is called ByteDance. Still, like so much of social media, TikTok has grown far beyond what its creators originally intended or maybe even thought possible. For example, TikTok is now a home for Christian evangelism and discipleship. That's somewhat ironic given China's intensifying war against Christianity. It's also somewhat unexpected given the lack of clarity about just how much control Beijing asserts over TikTok. Still, according to influencer marketing firm Tracker, Christian TikTok drove more than 169 million engagements in 2020. There's about 1,800 Christian influencers active on the TikTok platform, and that number is growing. With very few exceptions, videos on the platform cannot exceed 60 seconds. So on average, that means these Christian influencers have about 150 words to give viewers content, intimate prayers, and empathetic counseling. Now, that's not a criticism of anyone who wishes to use TikTok or any other social media platform like it to spread the good news. But it should be a warning. See, whether they realize it or not, there's a long and storied history of Christians, especially evangelicals, using new technologies to preach the gospel and advance the Christian faith. Now, of course, the most obvious example would be the printing press. The first book ever published with movable type was the Bible in 1455. By 1500, there were an estimated 8 million books printed in Europe, most of them religious texts. And throughout the Reformation, which began less than 70 years after the invention of movable type, new communication technologies like this allowed reformers to make an end run around the ecclesiastical authorities and directly appeal to the growing and increasingly literate middle class. Then 200 years later, there was an explosion of newspapers. That played a central role in spreading reports of conversions during what came to be called the Great Awakening. These reports not only tracked the travel of George Whitefield and the sermons of Jonathan Edwards, it tracked the scope of the revival and created interest and anticipation about where it could go next. And of course, the examples in the 20th century are just too numerous to mention, from Charles Fuller to Billy Graham to Jerry Falwell, involving radio, television, satellite technology, and finally, the internet in all of its forms. So the use of a new platform like TikTok is really right in line with a story that goes way back in church history. At the same time, the same church history reveals just how limited certain technologies, especially in the areas of discipleship and catechesis, can be. The message of the gospel is not just the what, it's the who and the how. And the fullness of abundant life in Christ just can't be contained in a tweet or a TikTok video. For example, social scientists use the term parasocial relationship to describe the illusion of friendship and intimacy that develops between viewers and the personalities they watch on social media or television. Virtual connections are not substitutes for friends and mentors, and they're not adequate for the full task of discipleship. Now, the key lesson in all of this is to allow new technologies to do what they can do, but not to expect them to do what they cannot do. The internet is great at dispersing sermons and teaching materials. In fact, it's better than any other platform the world has ever seen. What it cannot do, as we've learned through COVID, is be the kind of gathering place that's required for Christ's church. That means the really hard work of making disciples must be done, as always, and as they say online, IRL. That means in real life. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Coming up on 20 past the hour, now batting Kevin Williams at the Weather Center.
Here is your family life weather forecast. Our call for this afternoon, clouds and sunshine, a couple of thunderstorms and showers popping. High temperatures ranging in the mid-70s to the middle 80s across the area, with cooler breezes near Lake Erie in Ontario. Tonight, balmy, partly cloudy, 60s and low 70s. Tomorrow, variable clouds, a couple of showers and thunderstorms. There'll be strong storms in the afternoon, especially Finger Lakes and south into central and eastern Pennsylvania. High temps 80s. Much cooler Thursday, despite some sunshine. High then 60s and low 70s.
All right, we'll stay skywise, as Kevin likes to say. Thank you very much, sir. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price. It is great to have you with us today, this Tuesday afternoon, the 25th of May. Here's what's happening. Schools expected to fully reopen in New York come September. Scott Pringle has our report.
Well, Governor Cuomo says under the current trajectory of coronavirus, he sees no reason why every school should not be fully open come September in New York State. He was asked if the state will eventually make the coronavirus vaccine mandatory in order to attend school.
That will be a topic of discussion. It already is, and it's a controversial topic of discussion.
Meanwhile, Mayor de Blasio says New York City schools will fully reopen with no remote option in the fall. Scott Pringle, New York.
The Pennsylvania State Senate is advancing a bill that prohibits governments and school districts from requiring a COVID-19 vaccination. The Republican-penned legislation makes so-called vaccine passports illegal. The bill does not, however, apply to private businesses or organizations. Today marks the one-year anniversary of the death of George Floyd, his family meeting in private at the White House with President Biden as they continue to call for police reform.
Our hearts are still broken because we'll never have him again to be able to hug us or to talk to us. But we're optimistic that some things have changed as a result of his death.
The George Floyd Justice and Policing Act has stalled in Congress. Many in law enforcement say that measure handcuffs too much the work of cops. Floyd's murder last May triggered months of riots and led to defund the police movements in cities large and small. Investigating the origins of COVID-19 with a 500,000 dead Americans, there are calls for an independent probe into how this country caught the virus. Experts caution if it wasn't a naturally occurring phenomenon.
This may still be happening in other labs in China, elsewhere around the world. We need to know, you know, this can never happen again. And the road to it never happening again starts with understanding how it happened this time.
Alex Berenson has written a book about the lab leak theory out of Wuhan, China.
Senator Tom Cotton last year wrote an op-ed about this and was slammed about it. It seems incredibly clear to me that once Donald Trump mentioned the possibility that this could have come from a lab, the entire media, you know, with the exception of Fox and a few other places, decided that he had to be wrong and it had right. to be a conspiracy theory. And that was just an absolute mistake. It was a travesty.
Pandemic point man Anthony Fauci lended legitimacy to the lab leak theory this week. The Biden administration says it will rely on the World Health Organization for answers. Secretary of State Blinken in the Holy Land for talks with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He's also met with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. The U.S. promising humanitarian aid to Gaza and will assist the Israelis in shoring up their defense forces following that nearly two-week-old war with Hamas. President Biden and Russian ruler Vladimir Putin will meet next month in Switzerland.
The White House confirmed the meeting will take place June 16th in Geneva. This will be the first face-to-face between the two since Biden took office in January.
Michael Kastner reporting that meeting will happen on Biden's first overseas trip as president. A new study today finds milk isn't just good for your bones, it also helps your heart. Milk drinkers tend to have lower cholesterol levels. Experts say drinking a glass of milk a day can reduce your risk of developing heart disease by 14%. Well, good work is hard to find these days, and now one McDonald's restaurant is getting desperate, it would seem, in trying to attract new employees. It's offering free iPhones to staff members after 6 months employment. Nobody knows where this McDonald's is. A photo of that job offer has gone viral on social media. Across the country, restaurants are reducing hours or closing altogether because they are so understaffed. We're coming up on 25 past the hour. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Nate Bailey from Sinclairville, New York. He's connecting Christian business leaders in the Pearl City with the hopes of reaching that community for Christ. What is Business Church?
Business Church is an organization that I started with a couple of friends about 8 years ago. We found that it was necessary to get business leaders together in the community to talk about their faith and to talk about what they were doing in their business. So it's kind of a business luncheon, a time to be able to talk with each other, share ideas. We have what we call the ABCs of Business Church. A is We're advancing the kingdom. So we're talking about good things that we're doing in our lives and in business where we see the kingdom of God advancing. B is it's a business connection. In the same way that you might go to another luncheon where there's some networking, it's kind of like that, where we just want to talk with other business leaders in the area. And C is a Christ connection. So it's our hope that when we are together on Fridays, that people see the Lord, are refreshed, and go out ready to serve.
So why did you think it was necessary to start something like this in Jamestown?
I just didn't see anything like it. So there are several good business luncheons that you could be a part of, or other ways, other networking groups that you could be a part of. But there was nothing that I saw in the area that had a faith component. So it was a matter of getting Christian business leaders together and sharing that common love for the Lord.
What kind of impact is Business Church having on Jamestown?
There have been a couple of small things that we can point to as far as the community at large, but I think the greatest impact that we're having is the impact on the individual lives. So the care that people are showing each other, the times that they're reaching out to each other, the connections that are being made, this is really where we're seeing the difference is in the individual's lives.
Yeah, and to your point there, Nate, these business church groups that are part of Business Church, when you talk about advancing the gospel, witnessing, sharing the love of Christ, a lot of times it's this one-on-one interaction, these intimate personal relationships that we have. And these church groups that you've started up, they're kind of foster that idea of one-on-one type of interaction. Talk to us about these business church groups.
So Business Church meets on the third Friday of each month, and that's great, but there's a lot of Fridays that are in between each third Friday. And so we set up some small groups called Business Church groups. We meet every other week. And then this last November, we decided that what was taking place was too good for us to keep to ourselves. And so each of us in the group, myself and two other gentlemen, we each started another group of three. So now we have, just out of our own group, the original one, plus three more, nine men total that are meeting on a regular basis. We talk about business, we talk about friends and family, and then we talk about our faith when we're together in the smaller groups.
You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week is Nate Bailey from Sinclairville, New York, and he started this organization called Business Church. It's been going on for about 8 years in the Jamestown area. Now, how has Business Church been received there in Jamestown?
It's been well accepted amongst those who have come out. Everyone has said that they have been encouraged by the time together. They've made connections with other believers. That's where the acceptance has really been.
So what do you hope Business Church accomplishes in Jamestown?
Ultimately, it's that the Lord would be known. That's the number one goal. I have a full-time job at my church, and I love working at the church. And at the same time, I see that we have believers, a number of believers, who go to church, and obviously their employment is not there. So we need to equip believers to represent the Lord well wherever they happen to be. Mm-hmm. If they're a business owner, if they are an employee, if they work for a nonprofit, these folks need to find ways to represent the Lord well. So I hope the Business Church is a tool that they'd be able to use for encouragement, to build each other up in the faith, to have honest discussions, and to hold each other accountable to do the very thing that the Lord has asked us to do.
From Sinclairville, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life. The Business Church. Love it. Thanks, Bill. Hometown Heroes comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report or online at life.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. As quickly as it cooled off Sunday night and Monday, it's warming back up today. Will remain warm tomorrow with everything from sunshine to a few thunderstorms. Cooler air returns at the end of the week, as could some rain on Friday. We'll keep you advised as we head into the Memorial Day weekend. Our call for this afternoon, clouds and sunshine, a couple of thunderstorms and showers popping. High temperatures ranging in the mid-70s to the middle 80s across the area.
with cooler breezes near Lake Erie in Ontario. Tonight, balmy, partly cloudy, 60s and low 70s. Tomorrow, variable clouds, a couple of showers and thunderstorms. Could be strong storms in the afternoon, especially Finger Lakes and south into central and eastern Pennsylvania. High temps 80s. Much cooler Thursday, despite some sunshine. High then 60s and low 70s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Finally at noon, Corning, New York's annual Glass Fest is back and better than ever.
Glass is so much a part of everything we do. Science, medicine, you know, technology, all of it involves glass.
That's why they're called the Crystal City, and they are buzzing with activity this week after last year's festival had to be canceled due to COVID. Colleen Fabrizi, Executive Director of Corning's Gaffer District.
Our businesses have struggled so hard throughout the 14 months, and it's here. You know, we're going to be in person, and I'm just so excited that we can welcome people back. They can feel safe and enjoy this incredible community.
Welcome back, GlassFest. The week-long event includes glass demonstrations at CMOG, outdoor concerts, guided art tours, and even drive-in movie screenings. GlassFest runs through May 30th in Corning, New York. And that's our world for Tuesday, the 25th of May. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.